It's good to see you all again. I've had my thoughts changed just this morning. And I ask that you would be in prayer for me and for us all. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. That song is about fellowship. With our communion being today, I felt very strongly about preaching about communion and fellowship. Did you know that the word communion and the word fellowship comes from the same word? And it's the Greek word koinonia. What does it mean to have fellowship or communion? Well, it depends on what you have in common. At one level, we all have things in common. We are all humans. All humans have things in common. We all have need to breathe and eat. We all need shelter. That at its base level, that's something that we all share. We all have that in common. And then, of course, there's another thing that every human has in common, and that's that we are sinners. Every human being has that in common. There are no sinners that used to be sinners, unless they have passed from this body. Everyone continues as a sinner. Hopefully, our sinning isn't growing. You understand what I mean by that? That we're not actively engaged in willful sinning. There are other things that we all have in common or have fellowship with. I'm going to bring this from a large group of humanity and start to hone it down a little bit. There are different countries in this world. And if you are a citizen of a country, you have fellowship with all other citizens of that country because you live in a nation that has a common goal or interest. It's not this way anymore, but all Americans used to have support for the interests of freedom and being an American. The people that live in China have a common interest of promoting the ideas and goals of China. People that live in Russia or Argentina or Africa or, well, Africa's continent, Kenya, Tanzania, wherever it is, they all are citizens of that country and have something in common with every other citizen of that country. In America, our country is broken up into 50-some states. We happen to live in Tennessee. That kind of brings our community smaller, doesn't it? So, we have a certain commonality with other people that live in Tennessee. We want to promote the interests of and the welfare of Tennessee. But even smaller than that, we all live in our own local communities. And we want to be of some benefit to our local communities. We want to have a connection with people that we live around in our neighborhoods and our communities, our local communities. Have you ever, it's becoming more and more prevalent now, the term shop local. Y'all heard of that? It means that when you shop local, you are benefiting people that live in your community instead of some CEO that lives probably in a different country. So you're supporting your local people. Now, that's in a big way. We have fellowship, we have closer fellowship with our neighborhood people and our communities than we do with the broader all Americans. You see that? We have our ideas, our concerns are our own. I want us to think about families. When you, a godly man and a godly wife, godly husband and wife, they have one goal. And their goal is to glorify God and to train their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They want to guide their house on godly principles. They want to teach their children godly principles and kingdom principles. That is their goal. And they have fellowship around that. But they also have the goal of caring for one another. And if a family, if some are not acting consistent with the goals of the family, then that's considered a house divided. Do you know that Jesus, when he was responding to those that said he casted out devils by the prince of the devils, Jesus says, if I cast them out by the prince of the devils, whom do your children cast them out by? And he said, and if Satan cast out Satan, how shall his kingdom stand? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So if you have a fellowship with someone and it's not consistent with the goals and the aspirations of that house, it cannot stand. That house does not have fellowship. A divided house does not have fellowship. They don't have communion. There's nothing common or that they're going in lockstep with. You all understand that. Now, there's a lot that can be applied to. Did you know sports teams have fellowship? Did you know that? There common goal is to play as a team and play as a team well so that they can win. That's their goal. That's the goal of a sports team, is to play well and win. The goal of a business is to have everybody sitting on the right seat in the right bus and that they're all going the same direction for the same goal. Whether it's, well, a business is always to make money. But that's not necessarily the only goal of every business. And if one employee would sabotage that goal, then they're sitting on the wrong seat on the wrong bus. Y'all get that? There's no fellowship that one has with the whole operation. Now, if there are folks that are in the house that don't share the common interest of the house, that is a house divided. Now, I want to hone this down a little bit. I want to talk about Christianity for a little while. Did you know that Christianity, almost all of Christianity, has a fellowship around most of them believing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He lived a good life, that He died on the cross, and most of them believe that He was raised again from the dead? Did you know there are some people that within the realm of Christianity that don't believe that? There are. So in my mind, they're not in the realm of Christianity. Just because you believe Jesus was God's Son doesn't mean that you... And just because you live a good life doesn't mean that you're a follower of Christ. Did you know that Christianity, as far, it was a term probably given by, well, Jesus first called His people His church. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to convey to you that God has a church, and that church are followers of Him. They have things in common. They have fellowship one with another, and they have fellowship with Christ and the Father. And the unity of the Spirit is the bond of peace in that fellowship. Now, Jesus called it His church, His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Father. He called it a lot of different things. And did you know that Christianity was probably given by the enemies of Christ because they were first called Christians at Antioch? They did not call themselves Christians. They were called Christians, probably by their enemies. It probably was a term given to them by their enemies. It was a name given. Do you know that's what a nomination is? It's to be named or designated something. Did you know that? Jesus named it when He called it My church. The enemies named it when they named it, coined the term Christianity or Christians. And every organization, every organism, the church is an organism. It should have some organization about it, but it's an organism first. It is a group of believers that have come together around the common goal and idea and theme and work and finished work of Jesus Christ. They love Him, and so all of Christianity as a whole has those few things in common. But do you know why there are many denominations? You remember Jesus called it His church. Men have denominated it. That means, you know, with the word, the prefix D mean, you know, devolve, decline. Making it worse and worse. A denomination means that they have left that original nomination of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ because they left that name. They left that those common things that the believers rallied around. Or believed. Y'all follow me? So, the original Church of Jesus Christ had 120. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Then a few days later there were 3,000 that were converted. And then a few days later, about a week or so, there was 5,000 converted, added to the church. That church was the nomination. Jesus nominated it. He gave it a name. Men have denominated the church. You know how many flavors or offshoots of Christianity that there are? One can't have fellowship with another one because they have nothing in common. So I want to lay this groundwork. Historically, there was a denomination called, and this is just historical, that the Catholic Church, or Catholic means universal in the name, there was Martin Luther protested against some of the things that the Catholic Church were promoting or believed. And so he split off, and then you had the Protestants. Now, the Baptists historically are not Protestants. Did you know that? I hope you knew that. But from that, split off, you know, the, I guess the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, just a lot of different split off. So you see how the Church of God is denominated based on what people believe. I can't go with that, but I can go with that. Until they do something that I can't go with, then I'm going to find something else I can go with. My friends, I want you to know that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed because God has not changed. And if you believe what the Bible says and practice what the Bible says, and your church believes and practices what the Bible says, then I think you're on pretty good ground. You got a lot of things in common with God, His Son, and His Word. Now, fellowship means that you're identified one with another, but that you have things that are in common. In common. What do the children of God have in common? God's their Father. Jesus Christ is their elder brother. They should all believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But what Jesus, who Jesus was, you know, after the broad generalization category of Christianity, the farther you get away from He's God's Son, and He died on the cross and He rose again, the farther you get away from that, the more denominations there are. One believes this, one believes this, and it all has to do with people's interpretation of who Christ was, what He came to do, and what He taught. Y'all see that? What people think Jesus did, who people think Jesus was, and what people think He taught. That's the basis of all these, what people have in common. In a church way or in a congregational way. Now, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. John says, that which was from, this is the first epistle of John. This is not the gospel of John. This is a John 1, 2, and 3 over there. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So first I want us to realize that John's talking about Jesus Christ, the Word of life. John says, I know Him. I knew Him. We heard Him. We saw Him. Our hands handled Him. And we're showing Him unto you. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, John, I want us to think about this. John is not promoting anything that he can so that other people will have fellowship with him. He says, our fellowship is around God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of life. And if you want to have fellowship with us, you've got to have that same commonality about you. I'm not going to change what I believe just so I can have fellowship with you. Y'all see that? You know, that's not popular in this world. It's not. People are willing to give up whatever they hold dear just so other people won't be offended at what they believe. Is that what John said do? He says, no, it's not. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Not so that we can have fellowship with you where you're at. If you want to have fellowship with us, come on. But we're not changing what we have fellowship around just so we can have fellowship with you. You understand? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's one of the first things that we need to realize about our fellowship together. Not only is it around God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, but it's that He is light, and in Him is no darkness. There's no confusion or unorganization or disorder with God. He knows all things. And by Him all things consist, Paul says. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know what that means? John's talking about people that just profess that they have fellowship with Him. Have you ever known people that just give God lip service and say, I love God, and yet they don't prove it by their actions? Have you done that? I have. You know what that is? That's a lie. That's doing not the truth. You know, I love Sonia. And she loves me. You know how I know it? I know it because she proves it. She knows I love her because I prove it. If I just went around every day saying I love you and then did things that were opposition to that, she'd begin to question whether I really did. Now, fellowship. Fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Did you know if I'm walking in the light and you're not, then we can't have fellowship together? If I've got light and walking in the light and you're not, we can't have fellowship together. As far as this is concerned, we may be all Americans. We may live in the same community. But as far as this fellowship is concerned, we can't have fellowship this way. He says, and if we do that, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That doesn't mean that you'll be cleansed. That doesn't mean that the blood of Jesus will be made effective to you. This cleanseth word is an active present verb. That means if you're walking in the light, you're walking consistently with God, and you have access to that cleansing that He's already done. It's assurance for you. It doesn't make His blood effective for you. He said, but we're talking about fellowship here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about fellowship. We'll start in verse 16. Remember, fellowship is a common interest, common goal, for the common good and welfare of that group. Whatever group it is, it's fellowship. The cup of blessing which we bless, 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ or fellowship? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? Paul's asking a question. What am I saying? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He's asking a question. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So Paul is finishing up, or in the middle of his declaration here of idol worship, and how that God's communion and fellowship has to be separate from that. Or not associated with it. Not just separate. Not associated with it. So, Paul, in that he says that the cup that we drink, is it not the fellowship and communion with Christ? Is the bread that we take not the communion with Christ? Is it not a declaration that we are all one in communion with Christ? It is. And I want to tell you, if you in your life are living in sacrifice to idols Monday through Saturday and have fellowship with that or the world, let's just broaden it out a little bit and say the world. If you're living worldly Monday through Saturday, and then you come to Sunday with your ribbons and curls and pretty dress on, or nice bow tie, gentlemen, wanting everybody to think that you got fellowship with Christ. You can't do both. You can't do both. This idea is consistent throughout the Scriptures. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Turn over a few pages. 6 and 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because you don't have the same common goal. You don't have the same welfare in your practice, in your mind. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in your marriage. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in your business ventures. Don't be... Now, you can't be totally... You're going to have to work around unbelievers. You're going to have to, unless you live in a hole. Because we're in this world. But you don't have to voluntarily yoke yourself up with somebody like that. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Light and darkness can't abide at the same time, can they? And what concord or what agreement hath Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or unbeliever? It's not consistent. It would be like taking a shower with a raincoat on. You're defeating your purpose. It'd be like wanting to go on a trip and not putting any gas in the car. It's not consistent with what your goal is. We want our goals to be clear. And we want our actions to be consistent with what our goals are as the followers of Christ. Amen? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That means you're going to act and be consistent with my house when you are separate from Belial and idols and the world. When you walk after my statutes, my ways, and my righteous path, you will be my sons and daughters. You'll look like them. You'll be acting consistently with the way my house is run. Fellowship. Fellowship. You know where the word fellowship really kind of come from? Fellows in the ship. Can you imagine a rowboat where one is pulling to row on one side, and the other side is pushing to row? You know what they're doing? They're just going around and around and around in circles. Can you imagine the back half of the boat rowing forward and the front half of the boat rowing backwards? They're not going nowhere. To go anywhere, all of them have got to be rowing the same way. They're going to the same... They're putting all their efforts into getting to the same destination. They're working for the same goal. They're not inconsistent with what the goal is. Fellows in the ship. They have a very same interest. In a storm, guess what? They're all doing whatever they can to save the ship. In calm seas, they're doing everything they can to get there as fast as they can. They feed each other. They're looking out for everybody else's welfare. Because if somebody gets sick, they can't hold their position in the boat. That means the other one's got to work harder. They're fellows in the ship. They're encouraging one another. They're singing to one another. Y'all know they used to do that on boats? They used to sing to one another. Partly so they'd be in consistent motion. That there wouldn't be haphazard moving of the oars. Now, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, let's turn over there. Chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Conversation isn't just what you say with your mouth. Conversation is your conduct of life. It's what you do. It's how you act. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." You know what the Apostle Paul is talking about? He's saying, be unified. That's what you have your fellowship in. Your one mind, one faith. You've got this one joy. You have the same love. You're of one accord. Your mind as a church, you Philippians, is the same way that a marriage is between a husband and wife. They conduct their house with one purpose, walking in the same direction, always caring for one another, always moving towards that one goal of godliness. Only it's not the mind of your wife, it's the mind of Christ. That one mind that you have is the mind of Christ. Paul talked to Timothy about that. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Have that same mind of that one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, "Let nothing be done through strife." What is that? That's opposition, isn't it? Or vainglory. That means to put one person up above, put yourself up above another person. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." You know, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? If God's people would let go of the self-esteem and start practicing other esteem. I'm doing what I do for your benefit, not mine. But really, when I'm doing that for your benefit, I'm benefiting the whole body. Because you're doing the same thing for me. We're doing the same thing for everybody. We're benefiting everybody. Let me ask you a question. What kind of church would the church be if everybody in the church was just like you? Would it be moving forward? Would it be asleep? Would it be moving backward? Would there be opposition? Think about it. If every single member in here of any church was just like you, what kind of church would it be? Would there be fellowship? Would there be divisions? You know, Apostle Paul talked about the church of Corinth. He said, it's commonly reported that you got divisions among them. I want us to think about that. I want all of God's people to think about that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He told Timothy the same thing too. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that don't end there. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the heaven, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, Jesus humbled himself. Aren't you glad he didn't look out for his own? That's maybe a wrong way to say it. Aren't you glad Jesus looked out for you? Because you were his interest. I started to say his own interest, but his own interest was you. His own interest was what the Father sent him to do. That was his own interest. And it edified himself to do that, to fulfill his purpose and what he purposed. Now this is mysterious, is it not? How that we have a part or lot in the family of God. It's amazing, isn't it? That God in his infinite mercy would even recognize us. And that we have fellowship together with him. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That means they've got a part in this thing too. You're Gentiles. I don't think any of y'all are national Jews. Not natural national Jews, but you're spiritual Jews. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's not the only thing that was given to him. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. I tell you what, there's a fellowship of the mystery. You know, God's a mysterious thing. He's a mysterious spirit. He's a mysterious being. And our part with God is mysterious, is it not? But Paul says, it was given to me to make all men see what fellowship they have in that mystery. And that mystery, it's mysterious how God knew you before there was you. It's mysterious how God knew you before he said, let there be light. But he did. It's mysterious that that man would have need of a Savior, but we did. It's mysterious what happened in the garden. Now the effects of it aren't mysterious, but it's mysterious about how he was created good and very good. It's mysterious because I can't fathom that. And I really can't fathom the depths of my need for a Savior. I can't fathom that. But I need him. I need him. I can't fathom God's purpose. I like to meditate about it, but it boggles my mind. But it's my job to help you see your part in the fellowship of the mystery. That you have a part in that salvation. You have a part in that redemption. You have a part and are a recipient of God's mercy and grace. What a blessing. Fellowship of the mystery. Let's all remember what our goal is. And let's all remember what it means to be fellows in the ship. May God bless you is my prayer. I pray that the Lord will bless us this week to show forth his honor and praises and be consistent with our lives and have the mind of Christ in us. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to come and join themselves with us, as John said, that you may have fellowship with us.